I can preach out of Romans 12 for another month and a half. I actually sat down to do my sermon notes last night, put everything on paper, and I ended up with 4 points that had about 3 or 4 points underneath them. And I thought, boy, if I preach that bad boy today, we'd be here all afternoon. So, what you're going to get today is 1 point from the sermon I prepared last week. 1 point, okay? So we're going to try to hammer this home. Instead of hitting you with the buckshot, we're going to hit you with one bullet, okay? Straight in there. All right. Genuine Christianity has been our theme. Genuine Christians are going to want to live a certain way. Not because Pastor Shane says it's the right way to live, not because the church pressures you to live that way, but because genuine Christians follow who? Jesus Christ. If you are a disciple of Jesus Christ, you should want and attempt with all your power, both physically, mentally, emotionally, and even supernaturally, you're saying, God, give me strength to live like Jesus Christ. If you're doing anything short of that, you're being disobedient to the Lord. And I hope you can follow me on that this morning. There is no room to, you know, to have some space over here where you can say, well, I can be a genuine Christian but not really care about these things. You have to care about it all. And when you learn something and you find out that this is a teaching of Jesus Christ, this is in the Scriptures, I need to care about this. I need to want to change my life and my mind and my thinking. This is not negotiable for Christians. This is a have-to thing. So genuine Christianity, we've been discussing that for 3 weeks. This is the fourth week. And we're going to get into one Scripture today that's going to teach us a little bit more about genuine Christianity. Now, Caitlin, don't pull up my first picture yet until I ask for it, okay? We're just going to leave it on the main screen. And I want to imagine that Brother Norm and Brother Mike here were sitting having a conversation about politics. Now, let's say Norm and Brother Mike don't agree on their politics. In fact, they're at polar opposites on their politics. And what starts out, Ken, is a really calm, cool discussion ends up in a shouting match. I can't believe you believe that. You can't believe that way. That's stupid. You're an idiot. And that's just Norm. And then when Mike hears what Norm says, Mike says, well, no, you're an idiot. You don't know what you're talking about. I can't believe you believe that way. And they start to hurl insults at one another, right? Because it goes from a conversation about politics into a full-blown fight. And they start calling one another names. And then when they leave, they're so angry, they start talking to their families about it. And they start spreading rumors. You know that Norm, his politics are terrible. He believes this. I just can't believe he's an idiot. And then Norm goes around and says, I can't believe that Mike. He's so stupid, I can't believe he believes that way. And he spreads it all around. And then everybody knows their business, right? And then Mike finds out Norm's talking about him behind his back. And then Norm finds out that Mike's talking about him behind his back. So then they say, hey, we're going to meet up, settle this. Norm said, no. We're going to meet up and settle this. And when they get together, they both brought guns. Because this thing's become personal, right? It went from talking about politics to calling names, to spreading rumors, to being vicious. You treat me that way, I'm going to treat you that way. You say that about me, I'm going to say it about you. You talk about me, I'm going to talk about you. You going to bring a gun? I'm going to bring a gun. They walk out there, Old West style, 10 paces, turn and shoot. Somebody dies, maybe both of them. You're going, Pastor Shane, that's the most absurd illustration you've ever given. Nobody does that. Bring my picture up, Caitlin. How many of you went to sleep during history class? Alexander Hamilton, who is on which dollar? Which bill? Anybody know? The $10 bill. Alexander Hamilton, the man on the $10 bill. Every time you spend one, you look at it. That's Alexander Hamilton. And a man named Aaron Burr got into an argument over politics. Aaron Burr supported one party. Alexander Hamilton supported another. They had different friends and colleagues. They started calling names. They started fighting in public. They started publishing things in the newspaper and the public, viciously attacking one another. If one said one thing, the other one would attack him back. And it became this big feud. So one day, they went and they dueled. 10 paces, turn and shoot. Aaron Burr kills Alexander Hamilton. One shot. Pow. He dies the next day from his wounds. All because two men disagreed about politics. And when one called the other a name, the other one had to call him a name back. When the other one slandered one, the other one had to slander him back. When one published something in the newspaper about that guy, something evil and wicked and nasty, the other guy had to publish something evil, wicked, and nasty. Then when one guy wants to fight with a gun, the other guy wants to fight with a gun. You know, because they got to save their respect. It's very respectable, right? If you think this type of thing doesn't happen today, you're wrong. Now, maybe you're not out in the street walking 10 paces, but I can promise you that there are people in this world, Christians, that when somebody attacks you, your first response is to attack them. If they attack you verbally, your first response is to attack them verbally. If they slander you in public, your first response is to slander them in public. They gossip about you, you gossip about them. Even to take it to an extreme, there are a great many Christians that if they got socked in the face, they'd sock back, right? And let's be brutally honest here today, folks. Let's not pretend like we're all squeaky clean on this issue. When people treat you bad, when someone treats you in an evil way, a wicked way, a bad way, your natural tendency is to do the exact same thing back to them, is it not? It is not your natural tendency to forgive. It is not your natural tendency to let it slide. It is not your natural tendency to fight evil with good. It is the human being's natural tendency to fight evil with what? With evil. Yet, we label ourselves Christians, followers of Jesus Christ, who never fought evil with evil. Always with good. And that brings us to our message today. You can bring up the scripture, Caitlin, if you will. And this is the passage I was going to preach on today. Aren't you glad I didn't do the whole thing? I'm just going to stop at what I've underlined, okay? So I'm going to read this to you. And if you, in your Bibles, I want you to turn to Romans 12, verse 17. It says, "Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone." Do not repay evil for evil, but be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone, right? So, this teaching right here, if we're going to talk about being genuine Christians, means that when we are attacked with evil, wickedness, nastiness, all the nasty things the world can attack you with, and I'm talking person to person, maybe it's in your family, maybe it's at work, maybe it's a stranger at the gas station, whoever it is, when you are attacked with evil, you are never to respond with more evil. When someone hurts you or your family, it's motivated with evil and wickedness, you are to never retaliate with more evil and more wickedness. Now, it doesn't make any sense to normal people who haven't made this transition into Christ-like living to say, if someone hurts me or they hurt my family, I'm going after them. If someone says something about me, I'm going to say something about them. I'm going to give them what they are asking for. Hello? They're asking for it. How many of you have ever used that statement, right? They're asking for it. Folks, we don't win this spiritual war fighting evil with evil. Because evil fighting evil only results in more evil. And sometimes, in fact, every time, it is harder to fight with goodness. You will be the one very often that gets the raw end of the deal. You will be the one very often that gets the short straw. You will be the one who will have to forgive. You will be the one who will have to show mercy. You will be the one who will just have to choke on it. Even though you don't want to, you want to choke them. Because the only way to win the ultimate war against the spiritual forces that are at work is to fight good with evil. You do evil to me, all I'm going to do is do good. You do evil to my family, all I'm going to do is do good. How many of us here are prepared to fight good against evil? Really think about it this morning. How many times in your life have you been faced with that decision and you fought evil with evil? Wickedness with wickedness. They hurt you, you hurt them. Well, today is the day, folks, where you come face to face with this teaching. I come face to face with this teaching. We as a church come face to face with this teaching. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Now, let's jump right into our main idea. And we've been sharing this main idea through the entire course of this series, and it's going to keep going because everything I teach you comes right back to this theme. So I want you to repeat it after me. Genuine Christianity results in genuine love for God and others. Every single time. You don't have to repeat that. Every single time. Genuine Christianity will result in genuine love for God and other people. And in the case that we're discussing today, you may be asking yourself, well, Pastor, how is this fighting good with evil? How is this genuine love? Now, we're going to discuss that. We're going to get into it. But let me ask you this question. Do you think there's ever been a single person that gave their life to Jesus because you fought evil against evil? You think there's ever been a person in the history of the world that has ever said, I'm going to follow the God that you follow when you fought evil with evil? See, our ultimate goal is not to get even. Our ultimate goal is not to feel good about ourselves. Our ultimate goal in this life is not to make sure nobody steps on us and walks over us. Our ultimate goal as Christians is that more people would accept Jesus Christ and be forgiven of their sins and experience the same redemption that we've experienced. And the only way to see that happen with people who hurt you is to not live the way they live. To not reinforce their lifestyle with your lifestyle. But to show them something completely different than what they're used to. I can't believe you still love me after I did that. I can't believe you still trust me after I did that. I cannot believe you forgave me after I did that. You see how it works? And then you can say, well, I know you can't believe it because if it was just me, I couldn't have done it. But let me tell you about why I'm able to forgive you. Why I'm able to trust you. Why I'm able to still associate with you. It's because of Jesus Christ, and you get to share the gospel. And not only do they hear it, but they see it. In fact, they saw it first in you. And then they wanted to know about what in the world changed Mike and Norm. Right? What got into them so that they're not out shooting at each other? They can sit and have their political discussion and still leave friends and brothers. Amen? Amen. All right, so let's jump right in. And this is going to be the scripture we're going to focus on. So, Caitlin, you bring the first one up, and it'll only be up for a sec. This is what we're going to focus on. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Let's look at our first point. You might be asking, why in the world would I do this? And I've got some other examples we're going to share, some things we're going to get into. But folks, make no mistake, this is the number one reason, period, that you should never repay evil for evil. Remember that we are not disciples of an evil man, but a good one. Remember that you are not a disciple of an evil man, but a good one. So anything you do that is evil is completely the opposite of what a disciple of Jesus should ever do. Are you following me? Think about how Jesus lived His life. Miss Wanda Faye, do you remember one time in Scripture where anyone insulted Jesus and He insulted them back? Do you remember even one time in Scripture where someone assaulted Jesus and He assaulted them back? Can you remember one time where Jesus repaid evil with more evil? The only time I can remember that He even got riled up was when they were defiling the temple. And He got upset about that, but He should have got upset about that. In fact, He still gets upset about that today, I believe. Except the temple's our body and not a building. But Jesus never repaid evil with more evil. He repaid evil with goodness. Think about it, folks. Who were the people who hung Jesus on the cross? The Jews and the Romans. Roman soldiers hammered those nails in. Romans made the final decision, even though the Jews prompted them to do it, and they hold much of the blame. Romans crucified Jesus. And as they crucified Jesus, what was Jesus doing on their behalf? He was asking the Lord to forgive them for what they were doing because they didn't understand it. Jesus was repaying one of the most evil acts that has ever been done on the face of the planet. In fact, it was the most evil act because when they crucified Him, they were crucifying a perfectly innocent man. He never even sinned once. And His response to that evil was love. It was goodness. Think about the Apostle Paul. We've talked about him a few times. The Apostle Paul was the ringleader who led the first Jewish zealots against the Christians, and they killed Stephen by stoning. Paul was right there. He led the charge to imprison Christians and kill Christians. Yet Jesus came to Paul on the road to Damascus, and instead of repaying evil with evil, Brother Billy, what did He do? He blinded him so that he could see. He forgave him and He rescued him from that life of evil and wickedness. Now, if the Lord was going to repay Paul the way he deserved to be treated, he would have got thrown into prison, he would have got stoned, he would have gotten beaten, he would have gotten insulted, and he would have died. That's what he deserved. But the Lord doesn't do things that way. Repays evil with goodness and love. Now think about this. How many of you sitting here today are guilty of sin? How many of you here, and you don't have to raise your hands, you don't have to respond to me at all. Respond in your mind, in your heart. How many of you here today know that you're guilty of what you and the world would consider a really bad sin? I mean, sometime in your life you did something you couldn't imagine God would ever forgive you for. And you know, if people knew about it, most people wouldn't understand it or would never forgive you. You and I see, we deserve death too. We at very least deserve punishment for some of the things we've done. But instead of that, instead of responding to our evil with evil, God sends His only begotten Son to die on a cross for us. Gave His life for us. I hope you're seeing the pattern here, and I hope you can remember today the number one reason that you should never fight evil with evil is because we follow a man, God in the flesh, who always fought evil with good. And that's what He expects His followers to do as well. Amen? Hey, I want you guys to give me a thumbs up if you're following me this morning, okay? Thumbs up. Because this is so important. And this is going to be the theme of all these other messages I'm going to preach probably for the next 4 weeks. If we're following Jesus and we're genuine Christians, the number one reason that we should act the way the Scripture teaches us is because Jesus did. And we're following Him. Okay? Let's take a look at the next point. Now that ought to motivate you enough. But I know that sometimes when you preach and when you teach, people don't always respond to these big, grand ideas about following the Lord, and it's what you ought to do, right? I'm going to always preach that, and that's what should always motivate you to do it. Amen? But folks, there are other benefits to this stuff. There are reasons why God gave us these types of commands. There are reasons why Jesus lived this way. There are reasons why we're supposed to live in this fashion. And it's not all just because God said so. It's because it's beneficial to you. It's beneficial to your family. It's beneficial to the people around you. If you live like Jesus, all you're going to do is make everybody and your life better. The only times it'll seem worse is when you're being persecuted for your faith. And then at that stage, you're going to be okay with that. You're going to consider that an honor to be persecuted alongside Jesus Christ. But all this other stuff that we deal with, it gets better when we begin to follow Jesus. So I'm going to share this with you today. If you choose today to always fight evil with good, you're going to build a good reputation with others that's going to earn you trust and respect. You tell me a person who attacks you with evil or wickedness that always sees you fight back with goodness that's not going to respect you. You name a person that witnesses you being hurt or being attacked or being slandered and sees you respond with goodness that's not going to say, boy, I trust that person. I respect that person. I might even want to live like that person. If you will make a commitment today to fight evil with good, it's going to improve your reputation in the community, at your job, and in your home. Now, husbands and wives, teenagers, listen up. Next time your husband, ladies, attacks you with wickedness or evil, and it does happen, you know, make a rude comment, say something that hurts your feelings, do something that they weren't supposed to do. Instead of attacking them back, try responding with goodness. I heard some sighs. There's some people holding conversations out here that, like, I don't know if I can do that. Now, gentlemen, sometimes your wife, and yes, ladies, sometimes you can be evil. And you know, we think evil, we think, you know, axe murderers, but evil is anything that's sinful, right? And sometimes men and women, we do things that are sinful against our husbands or wives, right? It happens. So men, the next time your lady comes up to you and she's really getting on you about something and you don't deserve it, how often does that happen, guys? Woo-hoo. Never happens, right, according to April. Next time, instead of responding with anger and resentment, try responding with goodness. And I'm going to try, I promise. I'm going to try. I am. Then that's all I expect from anybody, okay? We're going to do our best because this is not something we typically do, is it? If my wife jumps on me about something, honey, how do I usually respond? Defiant, huh? And mean, right? I know I told you guys about the day that we were fussing a little bit and I dumped her macaroni and cheese on the floor. You remember that, April? Yeah, she remembers it. We were sitting in the living room and we were fussing about something. I think it's because I had dropped a piece of macaroni that I was eating on the floor. And she said, "Why don't you pick that macaroni up? You're so messy. You don't ever pick anything up." I didn't say a thing. I just took the bowl and I dumped it all on the floor. Now, I could have handled that better, okay? And I want you to know that we can all handle these situations better. Now, in that case, I don't know that she was necessarily being evil to me again. But I felt like she was. And I responded in kind. Now, if you'll be honest with yourselves, married couples here today, you'll say, I've done that before. You will say, there's been a time where my husband or my wife has done something and it hurt my feelings. It made me angry. I didn't feel that it was fair. And instead of just responding with goodness and righteousness the way Jesus would have responded, I responded with anger and hatred and venom, and I attacked. And we've probably all done it at some point or another. So my challenge to you today is respond with goodness. Don't fight evil with evil, folks. It only creates more evil. What happens when you respond evil with evil in your marriage? It escalates, doesn't it? It gets worse, and you start to fight, and then somebody's crying. It's usually April, but it gets bad. And we don't want that. That's unhealthy. That's not good for us. Respond with goodness. Teenagers, listen up. I know you're in here. I know you're in here. I'm glazing over the front row. There's two of them right here. I'm not looking directly at you. Teenagers, sometimes your parents can do hurtful things. Sometimes your parents are wrong. Parents, I'm sorry, but sometimes it happens. I've been wrong before. I've had to apologize to my kids for being wrong. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, your parents, they don't do the right thing, and they hurt your feelings. They do something they're not supposed to do. But when you respond likewise, what happens? It starts fights, it starts hard feelings, and it gets worse and worse and worse. It doesn't get better, I can tell you that. But instead of responding to evil, wickedness, nastiness with more of it, try responding with goodness. Try responding with goodness and see if it doesn't help your relationship with your parents. I promise it will. Now, think about this. Think real hard. Parents, you model these things for your children. Okay? You model these things for your children. So, if you are constantly responding evil with evil, wickedness for wickedness, nastiness with nastiness, your kids are going to grow up thinking that's the way I'm supposed to handle things. That's the way I deal with conflict. That's how I handle situations where someone attacks me or hurts me or talks about me or slanders me. I just attack them. And you think, well, this is in the confines of my home. This is stuff nobody sees. My kids understand it. They don't understand it. They learn from it, and then they do it. So when you are in a relationship in the family, this is the most important place to practice this. Always respond to evil, wickedness, nastiness with goodness and righteousness. To the best of your abilities, do it. Because then your children will be raised thinking, well, that's how we resolve conflicts. Somebody hurts me, I just be nice to them. I promise you they'll do better in life. Anybody disagree with me? They will do better in life if they respond to that stuff with goodness. Now let's take a look at the next one, Caitlin. This is also a great example for others to follow. You will become a teacher just by living a righteous life in the eyes of others. Remember the scripture we talked about said, be sure to do what is right in the eyes of who? Everyone, right? I want you to understand this today, church. If you're going to wear the label Christian, and you're going to go to church, you're going to read your Bible, you're going to say, hey, you need to come to church, or you need to follow Jesus, you need to get saved. If we're going to be those types of people, we better be living like it, right? One of the greatest criticisms of people outside the church is that church folks live either just like them or worse than they do. That's one of the worst criticisms of Christianity, is that they don't get to experience what it's really like to see Jesus Christ. Because we're not showing it to anybody. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. You walk out of here today and you begin responding in your workplace, at the grocery store, the gas station, somebody cuts you off on the highway, wherever you are, especially in your home, but everywhere, you start responding to evil with goodness. You will become a shining light in this world. People will say, what in the world has gotten a hold of Ken Peterball? Every time I try to get under his skin, all he does is get nicer. Ken, you smiling a little bit? Yeah. Every time I try to get under Jamie Grice's skin, every time, all he does is get nicer. I can't stand it. We're going to talk about a scripture in a week or two. It's going to talk about heaping burning coals on your enemy's head. And that's exactly what it means. Because people are trying to get you to act like them. They are trying to drag you down in the mud. They are trying to see that you are just like everybody else. You're going to act like everybody else. That you got just as many problems. And you know what? You do have as many problems. But you got something a lot of those folks don't have. You got Jesus on your side. You got Him to follow. And when you begin to fight evil with goodness, they are going to notice it. They're going to notice it. And they're going to want to know why in the world you act so different than everybody else, that they frustrate, that they aggravate, that they make angry, that they fight with. And they're going to ask you why, or they're at least going to investigate why. And maybe somebody will give their life to Jesus just because you made this one change in your life. It's going to help your family and your relationships already. So, first reason we ought to do it is why? Because Jesus lived this way. We ought to do it, and you shouldn't have had to have those last two. But the very first reason is because Jesus lived that way, we ought to want to live that way. Second reason is because when we live that way, it's going to make our relationships better. It's going to improve our reputation. People are going to respect us. They're going to trust us. They're going to feel comfortable around us because they're going to know, I can't make Brother Billy mad. Ain't nothing in the world I can do to make him mad. He's always going to be nice to me, and I appreciate that about him, and he's different than all those other guys. Okay? That is the second reason. The third reason is that you're teaching people about Christianity when you fight evil with evil. You're teaching them that it's no different than anything else. But if you'll fight good with evil, they'll say, wow, that's different. I want to live that way. I really appreciate and respect that person. So, here's what we're going to do. Go ahead. I think we got a number four, and I think this might be... All right, that's just a summary. Go to the very last thing. I got a picture here. You see the picture? What are these? They're baby feet. It's baby steps. Now, I know I come in here, and I drop a load on y'all when I preach. I get in here, and I expect just these visionary changes, right? And God's going to take a hold of you, and you're going to be completely different, Mike. But you know, common sense says that you got to take a little at a time. There are some things that God can just free you of immediately, and some things take a little time. We're going to talk about baby steps today. And I'm going to give you an application. This is your homework. No writing, no reading, only action. Here's your homework. Caitlin, bring up that last one. Here's our baby steps. Practice exchanging good for evil. The next time someone makes a rude comment about you, this could be your wife, your husband, someone at the gas station, the store, where you work, I don't care. They say something to you, hurts your feelings. Okay? I want you to respond. Instead of getting defensive and showering criticism on them and getting even, I want you to ask yourself, is there some truth in what they're saying? Is there some truth in what they're saying? And then I want you to thank them. Say, thank you. I appreciate that. That's going to help me be a better person. So April, next time you jump down my throat about not taking the trash out, I'm going to look at you. I'm going to say, honey, thank you. Because that criticism of me is going to make me a better husband. And I'm going to do it. Maybe for this week. We'll see how but baby steps, okay? Find some chance in your family or somewhere where someone hurts you and you just say thank you. I appreciate that, and I'm going to try to do better. Instead of attacking them, give them a little goodness. Amen?